What song do you want to hear, Dan?
Beer!
You are now listening to America's favorite craft beer podcast, a show that covers tricks, tips, and trends inside the craft beer industry. I am your host, craft beer enthusiast, Tom Simpson. Next to me, my co-host, a man with more untapped check-ins than you have steps on your Fitbit, the adjunct professor himself, Mr. Dan Palway. Tune in, sit down, and drink up. And most importantly, thank you for joining us on another episode of America the Brewdog.
Guess I'll have to wait until then. And if I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend, and I say...
And welcome to Season 4, Episode 6 of America the Brewdiful. Two major headlines for me this week. One of the area's best-known breweries releases a style of beer you might not expect them to release, and an upcoming summer beer fest announces its first breweries that will be in attendance. Also this past week, I took a ride up to Mamaroneck with our friend Jose of Yankee Runner IG fame to visit Marlow Artisan Ales. We'll bring you that interview that I did with them later this episode. Also, Hop Culture releases a list of 9 breweries with the best pastry stouts according to Instagram responses. I will definitely dig in on that and give my opinions. And we'll also talk about some recent releases that caught our eye and talk to Chase from Top Beer Drops about the top-rated beers of the past week, many of which are local to us. Let's start here, though. I mentioned it at the top, Tin Barn, the block party. They made some announcements on it. As we've mentioned the past few episodes, Tin Barn is having a beer fest on August 10th, and tickets are going to go on sale March 1st, which is coming up very, very soon. Now, before you buy tickets to a beer fest, you probably want to know who is attending. Well, the first few breweries have been announced. That's 6 months ahead of time, and the list doesn't disappoint. So far, the breweries that they announced are Equilibrium, Fidens, Mortalis, North Park, and Tripping Animals. There are going to be a lot more breweries announced over time, and they're saying there will be 70-plus breweries at this event. So that's going to be a tremendous event. I will be attending. It's on my calendar. But let's talk about the other thing I mentioned, one of the big things that, you know, I think we should talk about this week, and that's Troon releasing barley wine bottles. So let's talk about the two barley wines that were part of the set. Into the Wasteland, a 13% barley wine aged in Laird's apple brandy barrels for over a year, and then conditioned on vanilla and toasted coconut. That is the Silver Wax Black label. And then Devoid of Humanity, 13% barley wine aged in Laird's apple brandy barrels for over a year, and then conditioned on vanilla, toasted coconut, wild Thai banana, and cinnamon, and that is a copper wax red label. The sets came with glassware and a tote bag. The big thing here is, for all the glass fanatics out there, there's at least 3 different glasses that were possible for you to get. There was the coffin glass, a gold coffin glass, and then 2 different ones with masks, a gold and a silver. So a lot of people out there, the people that love glassware, trying to kind of get the whole set, and that's, you know, not that easy. So interesting on that end. They also, Troon, talked about their barley wine recipe, and apparently for this one, it is completely overhauled and retooled, according to them. So interesting to see how these came out. We talked about barley wines. Let's talk about stouts. Hop Culture came out with the 9 breweries with the best pastry stouts. So here's the list. And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit after this. Angry Chair, Bottle Logic, Corporate Ladder, 8 State, Long Live Beer Works, Moxa, Equilibrium, Southern Grist, and Weathered Souls. Not a bad list, honestly. So the list was compiled. They basically asked people on Instagram who they thought made the best pastry stouts, and then people responded. But one huge omission in my mind is Mortalis. I don't know how they did not make this list. In my mind, as good as any brewery when it comes to pastry stouts. Also not on the list, Weldworks, Boiler, Burial, all of those, I think, can make a serious case. You may be thinking, okay, What about Side Project and Toppling Goliath and Three Sons? They do have adjuncted beers. They are not that sweet necessarily, so I could see them not being on this list for that reason. And then two breweries that I've talked about a lot recently that I wouldn't really put into this list because, again, the beers aren't that sweet, but some sleepers for stouts if you're out there looking for like what you should trade for if you're into stouts. Wax Wings and Brother Ship. After the break, we have an interview. I mentioned I went up to Mamaroneck, New York. We have an interview with Marlo Artisan Ales that's coming up right after this. All right, welcome back. Season 4, Episode 6 of America the Brutiful. Right now, I am in Mamaroneck, New York. I am at Marlo Brewing, which right now is a New York craft collective. And let me welcome in my guests. So I have Zach and Carla here. And let me start here. It's my first time at this location. Just really quick, tell us about how you came about this location and anything you want about it.
Sure. We had a spot in Nyack that ended up not going the best way. and when we shut that down, it happened to be at the same time that Paul from Decadent Ales was asking to buy some hops for me because we were storing our hop storage here. And he threw in a question like, "Hey, can I buy these hops?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he asked me, "Would you also want to buy my brewery?" And it was just like, it was like such a crazy turn of events. And it happened to be the perfect time for us to be closing one and another opportunity presenting itself. And Barclay Brewing was also looking at opening up a space. And so we kind of tag teamed it and took over Decadent.
Nice. And this is a beautiful location. You know, once I walked into the doors, I just was greeted with like a carnival of lights. I love it. I love the aesthetic here. And then as soon as you walk in, you look all the way at the end, and there's beautiful artwork in the back of the brewery. Do you want to tell us about kind of what you were going for here with the aesthetic? What went into it? What went into the vision?
Yeah, we wanted to create a space that felt comfortable, kind of like you're inviting someone into your living room or your kitchen where they can sit and enjoy the beautiful sunlight, the beautiful windows, just be really comfortable and have a beer and talk. The sun coming in is great for plants, so we've been bringing plants in. The Christmas lights went up at Christmas, but everyone loved them, so they're going to stay.
I think it's a great idea. It's, they're great. It's a very welcoming, but also kind of hip feel when you come in here. But I am sitting right now on a bench here. We're sitting at a table, and you told me something about this bench that I'm sitting on.
Yeah, my dad and I built the 40-foot-long benches, and I went home for 2 weeks and worked on them with him. It was a really great project, and throughout the whole project, we kept testing them and sitting on them, and we wanted to make sure that the seat heights were the right height so that you could put your arm up and put your arm around your partner and just really comfortable seating.
I love it. I love the fact, you know, any time there are different things that kind of bring you into a brewery that are, you had a part in making this bench, the artwork over there, that's, you brought that into it. It's not just kind of cookie cutter, this is what it is. It's a piece of both of you into this brewery. We also have stuff in our glasses, beer. So let's talk about that a little bit. I came here with Jose of Yankee Runner Instagram fame, and he brought a beer. So tell us a little bit about the beer we're drinking.
This is a collaboration with The Seed. What was it called? Written Letter?
You should know, man.
Yeah, it's Written Letter. Carla did the label for this one as well. Mixed firm beer. You know, I have a passion for mixed firm, and they brew a lot of mixed firm beers, which is great. We took four different grains and just brewed it up using as local as possible. Love The Seed. So anytime we get the chance to collaborate with them, it's always a good time.
And we'll talk more about maybe your mixed firm passions a little bit later. Also in front of us, and we'll probably get into it in a little bit, you have a can. And I think it's when most people think of your beers, they think of kind of the Eager series. So tell us a little bit about that, because it is very indicative of kind of what Marlowe is. So,
yeah. Eager to Share was the first beer that I brewed for Marlowe. Brewed it back in October of 2019, and there was a big rush to get it into the tanks because my grandma's 90th birthday was the next month. So I wanted to surprise her. She had no idea that I was starting a company named after her late husband. So on her 90th birthday, I surprised her with the first can of Eager to Share ever produced. And I think I won Grandson of the Year that year. But yeah, I just wanted to make it was great. I wanted to make an approachable low ABV hoppy beer that tasted a little bit bigger than it actually is. Full flavor, you're not sacrificing any of the flavor for the lower alcohol content, but still something you can just drink as many as you want and be able to get home safely at the end of the night.
And I think it's not all low ABV beer that you make, but I think it's kind of what people think about when they think about Marlowe is very tasty, drinkable, low ABV beers. You even have the Marlowe ABV shirt. If anybody wants to come here and buy one, it's very smart. I like that idea. You know, let's also talk about the artwork here, because Carla, that's where you come in. Like you, and we'll get into some of the other artwork that you do here. But tell us about this.
Every time I design a label for Zach, I want it to also tell a story, because his beers always tell a story. And so, doing the Eager label, you know, these are the birds that are in our front bushes that our cat watches all the time. And it's just a nice little bird.
It's also a nice reminder of home.
Yeah. And just, again, being comfortable and cozy and, yeah, happy.
So for the beer nerd who hears Mamaroneck, they may think of Halftime Beverage. You guys are literally attached to it. If you walk into the door and go straight, you go into Halftime. If you make a quick left, you go and visit you guys. How often do you get just random people who just wanted to pick up a 4-pack of beer who didn't even know you guys were here, who I'm like, oh, wow, there's a brewery here, let me check it out. And how does that exchange go for especially, I think, the novice craft beer drinker who wants to pick up something that, you know, we may overlook as a craft beer drinker, maybe a Stone or something like that, and are like, oh, there's a brewery in here, I want to check it out.
Happens all the time. I mean, Monday and Tuesday were closed, but we have people pulling up in our parking lot expecting to go into Halftime and looking in and seeing the lights as we're in here working or brewing, and they pop in and they're like, what is this? You know, what's going on here? Do you guys have food? Do you guys, you make your own beer? I didn't realize that. And then once they come in and try the beer, we have like a very high return rate of people who come in, experience what we want them to experience, and drink the beers that we want them to drink, and they end up coming back. So it's good to have Halftime here. You know, pulling in inadvertent passengers, you just like want to find good beer, and I'm happy that we can provide that for them.
All right, so you mentioned food. I was going to get into food much later, but you have a passion for food. Tell us about, you know, what you have here for the person who wants to come in and wants to have a beer, but also want to get a little bite to eat, because you have a pretty nice menu here.
Yeah. You know, when we first started, I devised the menu. It was very similar to what we did in Nyack, and I wanted the food to kind of pair with the fermentation that we've got going on here. I knew that I wanted to tie in a little bit more fermentation into our food, so we started koji aging our beef into our custom beef blend for our burger. I released hot sauces for our anniversary, which is always something fun. I think that our kitchen chefs want to explore a little bit more into that.
I don't want you to get super into the koji aging of the beef, but
give us like the, you know, Koji Aging for Beef Dummies version of what that is.
Sure. Koji is a sporulating mold that is used as like the foundation for soy sauce. And I think it's also used in sake, I believe. But it's just, it grows on grain. So it can grow on barley. It can grow on rice, which is what we use. And you can powderize it and cover meat in it and let it sit in the fridge for a couple of days, and it mimics dry aging. So you get like an incredible umami depth of flavor, like the umami you get from soy sauce. You can get that like depth of umami or dry aging in our burger. And it really is crazy. It's a night and day difference when you taste a regular burger versus our Koji burger, and how different and how much more intense the flavors are, and just in such a simple way. Kind of mimics the beer as well.
Nice. And you also have birria tacos. I needed to bring that up because that's something I love, and you have it here.
They are coming. So, you know, we started with my menu, and we've gotten two very talented chefs in here. And I really want to encourage them to tell their story in the kitchen, and so like their history. So Lewis, one of our chefs, he has a family recipe for birria tacos, and we've done it a few times for specials, and it sells out almost immediately, and like it needs to go on the menu. And Justin, our head chef, has passion in other different areas, and he's trying to bring that into our menu. And so we're going to be updating the menu very soon, and I'm very excited for them to be able to tell their story with the food.
I love that. So you had the Nyack location. Everybody that I know that went to visit you guys at the Nyack location loved it. Didn't end up the way you would have liked. You got this location. It's gorgeous. I think it's very well suited to both of you. But you open up about a month later, kind of disaster strikes. There was massive flooding. You know, talk about kind of how disheartening that must have been, and also just kind of like, okay, let's get through it, and how things have been since.
I mean, building out our second brewery within 12 months was an exhausting task, and then to get flooded, it's like building out again. But you know, when you reach disaster, all you can do is just kind of like suck it up and get through it. You know, we have a very clear vision on what we want to do here and have people experience just like as comfortably as possible. And, you know, that was driving us to get this cleaned up as quickly as possible, get back on track and continue making beer.
So I want to talk about a few other things, but a lot of people think of you for a lot of lagers and low ABV IPAs, but that's not all you guys make. You have one of the highest rated brown ales, like on Untappd, if you're into that kind of thing, The Broken and the Dead, that is on right now. You have a variant of that. You teased ahead to a barley wine as well that is going to be ready soon. But you also have some malty goodness coming up in the next month or so. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, brewing at a 12%, it was easy to kind of like find a niche and just like satisfy that niche in the market because it was being distributed across the nation. And then when you have your own space, you kind of want to satisfy everyone's desire. If they come in, you want to give them whatever they want. So we started branching out from just making low ABV stuff to a little bit higher. The brown ale was something, it was a recipe that I had for, you know, 5 to 7 years just in my back pocket that I thought would be good. And then when we finally made it, just kind of blown away by how good it actually was. I mean, nobody makes brown ales anymore.
That's true, yeah.
If we can do one and do it well, then I think we've done a good job as brewers. And we constantly want to challenge ourselves and make better beer across all styles. And so, you know, we made an IPA here, Go Signatures, and noticing that Westchester responds extremely positive to IPAs. They steer a little bit away from the lower ABV stuff than I would like, but you know, I'm happy to explore the higher ABV stuff. The barley wine is a big breach out of my comfort zone, brewing an 11.5% barley wine, but you know, it's fun, and we get to tell a cool story with the barley wine. It's actually our low ABV ESB, so 5.4%. scaled up slightly, and then just boiled for an entire works day worth of hours. So we spent 8 hours just hanging out, drinking beer while we waited for this beer to boil for 8 hours, and then finally put in the fermenter, and you know, it paid off big for us. And then we have our 13% barrel-aged stout coming up soon. It's 18 months and one day in barrels right now. And we're just waiting for it to leach a little bit more out of the barrels before it's ready to go. But we've got our bottling line ready to be fired up, and we're excited for it.
All right, you said a lot, and there's a lot of little threads I want to go to. But let's start with Ghost Signatures. It's one of your IPAs. I was able to have kind of two of them back-to-back, and that was the Nectaron and the Pink. It's the same recipe, different hop, dry hop. And I couldn't believe how different they were, because a lot of times you have a beer, and you know, I'm not a brewer, I'm just a guy who drinks beer, but I like beer very much. They were so different to me. What do you think for the beer consumer that gets to try these beers, like how important is that to you that they see those differences?
I mean, you don't want all your beer to taste the same. That's what it comes down to. And I think our base for the IPA lends itself to really kind of being manipulated by the hops that we add late in the beer's life. So we can get multiple different beers, or of the same beer, different hop different ways, then, you know, we're basically making different beers every single time. And so people can travel the world of the within the hop realm. You know, if they can get a Motueka, they can get a Nelson, they can get a Nectaron and a Pink, and they're all going to taste different versus going to another brewery where you could just, they say they have different hops in it, but for one reason or another, they all end up tasting the same.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Ghost Signatures can, the artwork on that, because Carla, you showed it to me, and I was, when I saw the can, I was like, oh, that's a cool little design, and I didn't realize what was actually on the can. So explain a little bit about what you put onto the can.
For each different beer, I take the name of the hop, and I write it out in cursive, and then fold it on itself, and so you get like a mirror image of the hop. And when you open it up, it looks like some sort of creature or an abstract piece of art, which also is the type of artwork I like to do. So it's a really cool concept. And each can, you know, the hop is different and the color is different. And
the little design is different.
Yeah, little designs are different. And it's really fun to tell people, you know, to point out like, yeah, it's actually, you know, Nectarone written, and you're like, yeah, oh, that's so cool.
I think if somebody were to see that can standing up the way cans are normally like placed, they may not see that. So it's a really cool image, which is not always necessarily conveyed as well just through words. But for anybody who, I think, first of all, I love that beer. That beer is amazing. I love the Nectaron version especially. Really cool design. You mentioned the stout, and I was able to try some of that. Tell us about, you said it's coming out fairly soon, next month or two?
Yeah. We first tried it last month, 17 months in the barrel, which, you know, you don't know what a beer is going to be like until you try it, especially aging in a barrel. So we tasted it, really liked where it's heading, but it's just not quite there yet. We're aiming for as perfect as we can get here, so that takes time for a lot of different beers. So we're just waiting for it to get to that point where it just wows us, kind of floors us. The barrels themselves are extremely nice. You know, we've got some weeded Willet. The rest are family estate from Willet. So the end product is going to be even better than what we tasted today, but
that's mind-boggling to me because the weeded tasted so good. I'm super excited to see what that final product is going to be like. We have it when you look outside here. First of all, you have a garage door that can open when it's you know, nicer out. Always very good. But you also have plans for the outside. So tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we have a garage right outside of our big garage door. that currently houses some sampling equipment from the state that they are going to be removing over the next couple of weeks. Should take 6 to 8 weeks, but once they're out of that building, we have the go-ahead to kind of transform it and turn it into something that, you know, will be comfortable for people sitting outside. So, I mean, I've seen the mock-ups of what our landlord wants to do for us, and I'm very excited about it. We call it our cabana, our outdoor cabana. Nice. But we're going to put an outdoor bar inside there, maybe some seats as well inside. And I mean, we could even do like private dinners inside there. Would fit like 12 to 15 people inside there, let our chefs kind of like run with it. But there's a lot of potential there for sitting outside in the summer months.
Now, you, for those listening who may not know much about your background, you have a very extensive beer background. You've worked at a lot of places. I don't know how much of that you want to go through, but how have your experiences working for so many different breweries and doing so many things in the beer industry, what lessons have you learned from that into what you are doing today?
I mean, I was pretty intentional where I went when I was first starting. You know, I mean, it just generally started realizing that if I worked for 2 years in a brewery, I could get any, you know, assistant brewer job in the industry at the time. So knowing that, I kind of set off on a path to learn the different aspects of beer. So every place that I went, I tried to learn something new. So at Voodoo, I got to learn what, you know, really great barrel-aged stouts were. And then I went to The Answer, where I got to learn how to make really great IPAs. And then going to Kent Falls, it was like the low ABV, tied to the land mix firm type of thing. And then at Aslan, it was doing like heavily fruited, wacky stouts or even more barrel-aged beers where I was like handling them and it's deciding when they were ready to be packaged. And then 12% was just kind of like an amalgamation of all of that, you know, doing all of the beer for so many different brands. Just learned an incredible amount across all the styles that you could possibly learn. And that's what I tried to do. And so I could be a well-rounded brewer.
Nice. Love that. Let's talk about, you have a collab coming up with our friends at Obercreek. Tell us a little bit about that beer and anything else you have coming up with any other breweries, perhaps?
So the Obercreek collab is a Helles lager. We use Stonepath Malting's Pilsner malt, which is the base is grown in Germany. It's a Erex Pilsner. It's like the nicest Pilsner malt you can possibly imagine. A little bit of Vienna, a little bit of Munich, just to give it a little bit more body and a slight amount of color. And then we used a whole cone middle fruit in that to give it like a really soft hot body, slight hop flavoring. And that will be lagered for a few weeks, if not months. The unfortunate being of lagers, you just got to wait forever. We'll put a young version on. That's like what we like to do, our Keller version. We just call it young lager and allow people to taste the beer through its journey the way that we get to taste it in the cellar. And then upcoming, we've got a Human Robot collab. We're going to be doing a Polish lager. We're going to throw a Dingus Day party here. Dingus Day, if you don't know what it is.
I don't know what that is, so tell us what Dingus Day is.
Everybody's Polish on Dingus Day.
Yeah. It's a Polish festival that happens the Monday after Lent. We're going to do it the week after Easter. And it's just kind of like a celebration. I like to think of it as like the Polish St. Paddy's Day.
Okay.
Polka music, pierogies, beer. And it doesn't get much better than that.
That sounds like a good time to me, yeah.
80-20 Smash is going to do a pop-up. We'll release our Polish lager, and then we'll make pierogies here.
That sounds awesome. I love that.
Got Timber Ales on the docket, finally, for a stout. And I hear
he makes those, yeah.
A few. And then we got to get the seed back up here. We tried to do one, but we just didn't have time on both of our schedules, but I'm sure we'll do another one here.
So we started this, conversation here. We had a beer. We talked about mixed firm. Is that something that you were looking forward to in the future?
It's always been the plan. I've always wanted to get back to it. Just tying yourself to the land gives you so much more of a purpose in making beer. You know, you're not only making beer for yourselves and for your community, but you're also like tying in your local community and the local farmers. We have a, I don't know exactly the style of alcohol that they make. It's a liqueur called Heimat, and they're, you know, they make some of the best liqueur in the country, and they just happen to be less than a half mile from here.
Wow.
And she has a ton of Sprent fruit from all of her liqueurs, and that's sourced within the Hudson Valley. And we were just over there, and she was like, do you have any need for this or this or this? I don't know what to do with my Sprent fruit. So once we do mixed firm, we'll be able to tie in Heimat into our process. Looking for some cheap 7-barrels, so if anybody out there has any cheap 7-barrels that they want to offload, we'll take them. And just like fill up some tanks, throw some into barrels, and start doing mix firm.
Love it, love it. All right, so I live kind of smack dab in the middle of New Jersey. If it was a square, I would be in the middle of that square. It's not, but you know, I'm pretty close to where the middle would be. It took me only 1 hour and 7 minutes to get here, or I should say Jose, because he drove. But you know, it took me just about that amount of time, not that far. Tell us, you know, for those who have not been here, it's time for your sales pitch. Like, why should they come? Why should they visit here? What beer should they have? What experience should they have?
I mean, that's really what drew us into this location the most. You know, we take 287 here every day because we still live in Nyack. And it's once we get off 287, it's probably 10 minutes, if that, to get to the brewery. 95 runs right past Mamaroneck. And then we have the Metro North train station right there that you can see going up and down to Connecticut, up and down from Grand Central. So the train station is on the same block. You know, we can walk there. We walk past it anytime we go into town. So it's an easy place to get to. I think Mamaroneck or a lot of these little towns in Westchester, there's so many little ones that people just kind of don't know where they are or assume that they're difficult because it's close to the city. But you know, it is an easy place to get to from New Jersey, anywhere in New York, or anywhere in Connecticut.
Love it. Well, I had a great time here, and we're still going to hang out a little bit, even though we won't be recording the rest. So thank you so much, both of you, for having us, for having me, for having Jose, for sharing all these amazing beers, and best of luck. I look very much forward to coming back, and especially trying some beers that I tried today that aren't quite out yet. And we will be back with more after this.
And welcome back. Season 4, Episode 6 of America the Brutiful. Local releases, let's talk about them. We started the show, we talked about Troon releasing 2 big barley wines, but let's talk about something else that came back, and that is their first Phobia Sour in a very long time. The name of the beer is Orthoterophobia. It's an 8% sour ale brewed with lactose and re-fermented with raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, and boysenberry. I was able to get this release. I tried it. Delicious beer. And for those of you who are saying, what the heck is orthoterophobia? Because I Googled it. I wouldn't have known if I didn't Google it. It is the fear of crickets. Okay. Tin Barn, we mentioned their beer fest that is coming up in August. They have some new releases. We'll start with the Dank Forest, an 8.6% New England double IPA with Nelson, New Zealand Cascade, and Simcoe. They have 2 sours as well, Tropicana 4 and Tropicana 4 Smoothie, which is orange, strawberry, and banana. And another new IPA, Take the Long Way Home, single New England IPA, double dry hopped with Mosaic and Citra. Equilibrium, they made that list of top pastry stout breweries in the country. They have 2 new beers. One is Cocoa Cream Stout, a stout with Irish cream and cocoa nibs ahead of St. Patrick's Day, and Morning Haze, a double IPA with Galaxy and Mosaic. Staying up in New York State, we'll talk about Overcreek. Overcreek's been killing it lately. Their new beer, Quartet 152, is an 8% double IPA dry hop with Citra, Mosaic, Rewaka,
Nelson, and Rakow. And they also have Chops, an 8% double IPA with a blend of classic American hops, including some that were grown by Ober Creek themselves at the brewery. Let's talk about the seed. They have a few new beers. We'll start with this one, Songs Like Trees, 7.3% IPA, dry hop with Nelson, Southern Cross, and Maui Nelson, which we've been seeing a lot more, and How the World Will Be, a 5.2% smoked Helles lager. They also released Until the Sunlight, an 8% Baltic Porter, and Moments, a 4.5% Ordinary Bitter. A collab with the seed that just came out recently was from Timber. It's called She Who Walks Among Monsters. Again, stout collab with the seed, conditioned on vanilla beans, coffee, and cassia bark. We'll go into New Jersey Oak Flower. They have two new releases. Flutter is one of them, an 8.5% double dry hop, double IPA with a double dose of Citra and Rewaka. And for you Devils fans, I would imagine this is a Devils reference. So if you're a hockey fan, you might want to get your hands on this. It's a 4.8% Czech Pilsner. I would imagine it's pronounced Eliash, like Patrick Eliash, but it's in collaboration with Kurt, who is Fermentally Gifted on Instagram. After his first place win in the past year's Motown Mash homebrew competition, he also took New Jersey Homebrewer of the Year for 2023. So really cool that Oak Flower, you know, very recently, they just had their first anniversary. They were, you know, Oak Flower was a homebrewer, doing something with homebrewers now. So I really love to see that. We'll also go to Autodidact. The Daylily is back, but they also have another beer, new beer on the menu, and that's a Monism Simcoe single hop IPA with Simcoe. They also have two events coming up. We mentioned that Oak Flower recently had their first anniversary. Autodidact is coming up in March. Here's two events that they have coming up. On March 19th, they have a beer and cheese tasting with Bee's Cheese held at the brewery. Tickets available through thebeescheese.com. And on March 22nd, they'll be having a concert with one of the former members of Taking Back Sunday. So excited for that. That sounds really cool. Root and Branch has a few new beers. Red Cavalry, multi-oat wheat sour double IPA, brewed with milk sugar and mosaic hops, and re-fermented with raspberry puree. This beer was last brewed in 2020, so they're bringing it back after all that time, which is, listen, I think that's pretty cool that they're doing that. They also did Do We Live in a Society of Spectacle Mosaic. It's a multi-oat wheat double IPA brewed and dry hopped exclusively with Mosaic. And Darkness at Noon, multi-oat wheat triple IPA brewed and heavily dry hopped with Citra, Comet, and Simcoe hops. Back to Jersey, Conclave. Sixth Sense, an 8.5% double IPA, dry hopped with Citra and Galaxy, brewed in honor of their sixth anniversary. Twin Elephant has a collab that's out. It's called Crab Mentality. It's a 7.6% American IPA with Rakow, Comet, and Pacific Sunrise. It is a collab with Crooked Crab out of Maryland. You've been seeing them do a lot of collabs with local breweries, but breweries all over the place, really. So it's a brewery I'm going to have to check out next time I'm down in that Maryland area. Let's talk Ghost Hawk. They have a few new beers, including Needle Drop, a 4.7% ABV New Zealand Pilsner, and Nobody's Darlin'. It's a New England IPA, hop with Yakima Chief's Pink Boots blend, brewed in collaboration with the women of Ghost Hawk, and a portion of the proceeds of that beer are going to be donated to the Pink Boots Society. Going out to Long Island, Strong Island, Noble Savage, Geometric Framework, a double IPA, 8.5% ABV, brewed with Orange Blossom Honey and dry hop with Citra and McKenzie. They also have two other IPAs, Burning Desire. It's a double IPA, 8.3%, dry hop with Pacific Sunrise and Peacherine, and Prismatic Overload. It's a 7.5% IPA. It's basically their Prismatic Lightning beer, but with even more of Cohia Nelson. Evil Twin NYC.
They have the most Evil Twin NYC named beers ever that have come out this week. This one is called The Hardest Thing About Finding Toilet Paper is That I'm Always So Spoiled for Choice. It's a double IPA, double dry hop with Galaxy and Cashmere. And then this is another one that's a super Evil Twin name. I instantly get annoyed by any hybrid food creation, no matter how delicious it sounds. It's a triple IPA. Double dry hop with Citra and Rowaka. Going down the shore to Asbury, my friend at Wild Air. This side of paradise, Barrel Age, New Jersey-grown peach wild ale, available in bottles. They also have State of Grace, a hoppy pilsner, and a cocktail-inspired sour called Bellini Poetic License. Sounds delicious. Back up north, District 96 has a new beer, Big Data, a 5.5% IPA with New Zealand hops. I was just there this past week. Always the food, very delicious up at the Burger Loft. Alternate Ending has a new beer, Mostly Dead, single hop Nelson double IPA. Going back out to Queens, Finback, Social Fabric, double IPA with Mosaic and Idaho 7. And in New Jersey, this is a brewery that we just talked about a few weeks ago. They just opened. They're pretty close to Troon. It's called The Drewery. And they've been getting some national attention, or at least some attention kind of in the secondary market, which is interesting for a brewery that just opened. One of their new beers, Am I Citra, a 10.1% triple New England IPA. I was kind of surprised to see this already kind of in the secondary market, but a lot of kind of good hype on that one, so I'm curious to try that beer. I still have yet to go to the brewery. They also have another new beer called Triple Hef. It's a 10.2% Triple Hefeweizen, so the Drewery, get it on your, you know, put that brewery kind of in your mind if you haven't been there yet. Probably want to check out. I'm going to try to check it out in the next few weeks. All right. We're going to be back with more. We're going to talk to Chase from Top Beer Drops on the top beers of the past week. And that's coming up right after this. Try to be best because you're only a man and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe though the going gets rough that you got a hand tough to make it. And welcome back. Season 4, Episode 6 of America, the Brutiful. I want to welcome in Chase of Top Beer Drops. We're going to talk about the top beers of the past week. But before we do that, I want to look back to the week before that. And Chase, we had talked a little bit about this. A lot of breweries local to me on that list, the list between February 10th and February 16th.
Yeah, you're a lucky guy. I wish I had the access that you do, considering the last few weeks. So, should we buzz through it really quick, or do you want to talk about any of the locals in particular from that week?
Well, I'm just going to give a quick shout out to some of the local breweries that made it that week. Noble Savage made it with Burning Desire, Ober Creek with Quartet 151, Oak Flower with Flutter, Troon with Don't Mourn the Loss, and Root and Branch with Infiltrator. It was like half the list was East Coast. Doesn't mean I get my hands on all these, of course, but nice to see. With that, let's talk about this week. Let's start at number one. Number one has a big old score, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, huge rating, and actually with 32 ratings, it's got a 4.77. This the number one beer this past week was Mortalis Ophion Copper Wax. I also saw that they had a coconut variant of this, but I think it was just on draft. But yeah, big 13% Imperial Stout. Let's see if I've got some adjuncts on there. It might actually just be barrel aged. I don't know if they added anything to it.
No, I think you're right. I think it is non-adjuncted. Mortalis, you know, I talked earlier in this episode
Hop Culture came out with kind of the top breweries in the country for pastry stouts, and Mortalis was somehow not on the list. And I'm and for me, you know, they have to be top two or three for me.
I agree. So I was surprised at that.
Before we go on to number two, let me backtrack a second. The week we're looking at is the week from February 17th to the 23rd. There were 436 new beers released from the top 440 breweries. Now let's go to number two. It's a brewery that keeps on showing up on the list. Let's talk about them.
Definitely do. Noble Savage came out with a double New England IPA called Geometric Framework. It's an 8.5%er and clocking in at a 4.7. I don't know if you saw the label, but it's a fun, trippy, wild label.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're doing that, because in the past, it had just kind of been like, this is the beer, and it's like written on it, you know? So it's kind of nondescript and, I don't know, not kind of sexy, you know, just like, this is the beer. So we talked about the list from last week, and there's a lot of the same players in this week. And number three is, of course, a brewery that we all know and love. So talk about number three.
Sure. Number three, no stranger to the list, is Troon, Into the Wasteland. This time it's a barley wine. I know they're pretty, they make the lists pretty frequently with their IPAs, but this barley wine's clocking in at a 4.67. I think it was a double release. This one's apple brandy barrels is what they conditioned this on, along with some vanilla and toasted coconut. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, so it was. You are right. It was a double release, and I was able to get this release. Luckily, I still have not tried the bottles. I'll be going on a trip very soon. I'll be going to Texas. We have a bottle share set up down there. I'm going to pop them open with some folks down in Texas, so they get to try some true. And we'll also bring a hoppy down there, since that gets people excited.
You have to keep us in the loop on how that is. I've tried a barley wine from Troon, courtesy of you and Tom. Thank you, by the way. And it was awesome. It was pretty remarkable.
So this one, actually, the two that they released, they said they have retooled their barley wine recipe. So I'm kind of curious to see what it's going to be like. I have no idea. And I don't know. Nobody I've talked to has opened the bottles yet. I know that, obviously, many people have, but I have not yet. Let's go to number four. It's a brewery that made it last week. And this series that they do is very, very popular and very, very good and very highly rated. Tell us about number four.
Sure. No, number four, it sounds like we're going to be seeing them a lot on the list this year if they continue with this Quartet series. So Quartet 152 by Ober Creek Brewing. It's clocking in at 4.62 as of yesterday. And it looks awesome. Have you tried any of the Quartet series?
Yes, I have tried several. I mean, I couldn't tell you which numbers, you know.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And I haven't had any of the last few that have been super highly rated. I have not had them. It's a bit of a ride for me, but I love going up there, so I'm going to have to make my way up pretty soon.
Something's in the water up there. I want to say the last like three Quartets have made the list. So,
and they're a great brewery, and I'm really happy to see them making the list recently. Let's talk about number five. I've had a few beers from this brewery, but I haven't seen them. They've made the list a few times, I feel like, last year, but not in a while. So tell us about number five.
Yeah, I'm gonna shout out. There's a fellow on Instagram, KC Beer Boss, puts this beer on my radar. It actually was created on Untappd like a few weeks back, but was technically released a week ago Saturday. It's a beer called Fields Above from Alma Mater. They collabed with Horace, and it's a big strong ale, 14.5%. And you know when it's Horace, they've got some fun adjuncts on there. This one's got coconut and vanilla is the variant that made it.
Nice. It sounds delicious. Let's go to number six. Number six is a brewery that's made the list as well. Let's go to number six.
Yeah, number six is Lumen Beer Co. out of Omaha, Nebraska. They released a double New England IPA called High Res. It's clocking in at 4.56, it's 8.5% ABV. I would also shout them out. I think that they had a pretty big stout release on this most recent Saturday. So keep an eye out for them. I bet they'd probably make the list next week.
Ah, all right. Well, we'll get into some predictions maybe for next week in a bit. But let's talk about number seven. Number seven, a brewery I like a lot. We talked about that list that came out on the best pastry stouts in the country. This brewery was mentioned, but this is kind of the other style that they're known for. Let's talk about number seven.
Sure. Number seven is Corporate Ladder out of Palmetto, Florida, effectively Tampa suburbs there. It's a beer called Strawberry Overtime. It's labeled as a gluten-free beer, but yeah, basically a 6.5% fruited sour, I guess, is what I would probably classify that as.
And the Corporate Ladder's at number seven. It's tied for that spot. So let's talk about the other beer it's tied with.
Sure. The other beer it's tied with is Butternut Crisp Hermitage. It's an English barley wine. I believe, based on the picture, it's got to be conditioned on Butterfingers is what it's looking like.
And how many beers have you had from this brewery?
I have not tried them. Have you tried Gnosis Hill?
I have. So I had a Gnosis beer at one of the EQ shares, and it was very good. So they're on my radar. And good to, you know, they're getting good ratings, so I got to try more stuff from them.
Yeah, definitely.
Number nine, one brewery, you know, besides Troon, one of the ones that ends up on this list as much as anybody, Root and Branch. Tell us what they have that made the list this time.
Yeah, this week it was with a beer called Darkness at Noon. It's the fifth batch of this series. It's a triple New England IPA. It's a 10%er. I also know Root and Branch is out in Southern California right now. It looks like they were collabing with Monkish and they teased San Diego. So I bet we've got some fun collabs coming from them over the course of the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, that will definitely make the list if that's what they have coming up. All right, and rounding out the list, this is a brewery I think everyone has heard of. It's a brewery that many consider the best brewery in the country. They don't always make the list because, I don't know, they release a lot of styles really well, but not, I don't know, some of them are not always as hypey. But tell us about number 10.
Yeah, I think this beer probably would classify as that. Definitely not as hypey, but still obviously really good. Hill Farmstead is rounding out the list at number 10 with Civil Disobedience Blend 37. It's a farmhouse ale. Clocking in at a 4.51, so.
Awesome. Anytime Hill Farmstead rounds out a list, it's a good list. Now let's look. I know it's super early. You just released this list, but anything you have your eyes on for next week?
Yeah, definitely. Let me pull up who I have saved. Give me a second here. Sorry, I should have been more prepared for us. I have my eyes on, I mentioned that stout. The other one is New Groove released a fun donut stout called Donut Stop Believing this past Saturday. And already it's achieving some pretty high ratings. So I assume as long as that holds, then probably profile them. The only other one I've got is Forager is releasing it did a release on Saturday. Miller Times, I want to say.
Yeah, is the name I think it's Miller's.
Miller's, excuse me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those bottles, I was looking at that release and the price point on these is crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, we talk about kind of how much, you know, beers are when they hit secondary and whatever. But even just regularly, the $55, it's a double barrel of Miller's, is $55. I believe there is another, and Little Luxuries is the other beer that's getting released, also $55.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm sure both of those are great, like to get my hands on them.
It's got a 4.7 right now, so, I mean, it's obviously tasting pretty solid, but yeah, to your point, at a $55 price tag, that's a lot to swallow.
But I mean, it's a 750, it's 15% ABV, it's 33 months in barrels.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, you could see why.
I get it. Yeah.
Maple syrup and vanilla beans, very expensive. Yeah, I'm going to try to get my hands on Double Barrel Millers now. Now that we're talking about it more and more, we'll see how that works. But Chase, thank you as always for joining us. Always good to have you here talking about a lot of breweries recently that are around me, but also a lot that maybe people around here have not heard about from around the country.
Happy to do it. It's always a pleasure being on there.
All right. And until next time, America, drink up and stay beautiful.